friends. So today we are reading a story, actually that's very interesting to hear. It's a historical story. And why are we talking about this particular story? Well, my friends, it is because during this time of Easter, we also have to remember that there are other things happening besides Easter. Did you know there's other holidays going on right this very minute? It's true. There's a really big one called Passover, and I think it might be nice to know a little bit about that. So, we're going to read a story about that called Solomon and the Memory Stone. This story was written by Erica Lyons. It's illustrated by Yinlan Paktaya, and it is read today by Mommy and who are you? What are we calling you? Oh, you're an egg that's cracking? Are you? You're not an Easter egg, are you? What kind of creature are you? It's an egg. I have an egg that's cracking. Oh dear. Are you a dinosaur? A pterodactyl. I can see by your wings. Yeah. Friends, Mommy has a pterodactyl with her today. You never know who it's going to be. So let's read a Passover story while maybe this guy passes me over once he learns how to fly. You ready? All right, here we go. Nope. Solomon was born when the moon was full and round and the rains refused to come. Sukkot, the harvest festival, had come and gone 6 times when Solomon's family began their journey from a village outside Sana'a in Yemen. That's on the other side of the world from us. The warm fall winds blew as his sisters stacked pita high in baskets they had woven. Ooh, pita bread is delicious. His gathered blankets, hiding silver jewelry and their holy Torah in between. Now, the Torah is the Hebrew holy book, kind of like their Bible, right? Okay. His Ab sold their goats in a nearby village, and Solomon cried, but not before lifting their soft ears to whisper a promise that he would remember their names and the color of their fur. Oh, he must really like those goats. They're not ours to keep, the goats or the land. Yemen is a borrowed place, his Yad said. Our home is far across the sands and seas in Jerusalem. There we have a life of plenty among our people. It was written in the Song of Songs that the time to return is now. And we can see it's his grandpa, right? Explaining all of this to him. So Solomon tried to memorize the smell of meat roasting and fresh ground chilies and the shape of the mountains and the pattern the moon made when it crept through the window panes. He slipped a loose stone from the base of his house into his pocket. He called it his memory stone. That's a great idea. Sometimes if you are going someplace and you want to remember it, a little stone in your pocket goes a long way. When the sun rose the next day, they all set out in a great caravan along with their neighbors, more than 20 families in total. Donkeys carried their burdens. Young and old, they walked and walked. Sandstorms blew and erased even Yemen's jagged mountains. Covered Solomon's eyes and mouth with her scarf. I think is his mother, don't you think? Yeah. Some days there was no water to drink, and the air was so dry Saruman thought he would crack like the earth, and still they walked. That had to have been very hard. Now, this story was written when there weren't cars to hop in and just go to wherever you needed to go to. Sleeping under the stars, as his ancestors in the Torah did long ago, Saruman held his stone to his cheek. When it was hot out, the stone was cool, like the tiles of his bedroom. And in his dreams, he was back there again. But in the picture, we can see where he really is. He's living in tents in the wilderness, going places, right? Some nights, with his stone in his hands, Saruman sat with the men, Ab, danced, and Jad recited poetry. And I think Ab is his father, right? Mm-hmm. And Jad is his grandfather. From the other side of the camp, Umm's beautiful voice rose above the other women's. Oh, she's a good singer. Back in the village, they had danced to their ancestral tunes. Silver jewelry jingled under the starry skies. And now, under the hot sun, Saruman and his sisters tried to walk to those beats. They were songs of memory. He held his stone close to his heart. Weeks became months. Months of walking and walking. Saruman was tired and hungry. Some days, divided a single piece of pita among all of them. And some days, there was none. Can you imagine having to split one piece of bread among your whole family? That would be hard, but it would be even harder to not have anything to eat. Mm-hmm. Many people became ill. Saruman's family had to sell their donkeys, and soon their silver, too, for passage on a ship that would take them only part way. "We have nothing left," Saruman cried out. "We have our songs and our stories piled high on our backs," Ab said. That night, under the stars on the rough sea, Saruman traced the deep wrinkles in Jad's palm.
"They're a map, so we'll remember where we've been," said Jad.
Like their ancestors who had wandered the desert long ago, the huge caravan passed through Egypt, too. Moving from port to port by ship and on foot, their melodies followed them. Outside his tent, Saruman drew pictures with his stone of the goats he had left behind. And he began to understand Yemen was a part of him no matter where he traveled. When he finally arrived in Jaffa, on another ship, they were close, but still not there yet. So they walked some more. They slept in dark caves. And with his stone, Saruman etched a picture of his old village in the earth.
"Soon we will build a beautiful new house," Ab said.
"But we're barefoot and empty-bellied," Saruman's sister cried.
"We have everything we need in our hearts," Ab reminded her.
One day, when the sky was the color of the sea, a glimmering golden city stretched out before them. The Tower of David from the Song of Songs glistened. They had finally reached Jerusalem. When the gates of the city opened, Saruman entered with Yemenite tunes on his lips and his stone, the color of his old house in the village, in his hand. Memory had followed him from afar. Saruman's humming filled the narrow alleyways. Soon the others joined in, too. Their stories danced inside the open-air market. Their poems sounded through the stalls. And when Sukkot the harvest festival began again, Soliman's family celebrated just as they had before, making new memories and dreaming of old ones, too. See, we've learned about this family who moved. They left the place that they had been. And that is a beautiful story, isn't it? And it's also... Yeah, the velociraptor... No, the pterodactyl? Yes, the pterodactyl agrees it's the end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.